court, and they hold a Bible for you to swear on. Or they used to. They don't even do that sometime now. But it used to be the Bible, because the Bible represented the truth and nothing but the truth. And you were swearing to the truth and nothing but the truth. Because men's natural tendency is to lie. Yeah, it's a lie. It's a lie. People say, how much you make? And you'll make $16,000 a year. And you'll say, just below $60,000. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And they'll say, do you own any property with that house you got? And you'll say, well, a little bit less than 10 acres. And it's 0.9 acres. It ain't my whole acre. But you never come right out and tell a lie, but you won't always tell the truth either. Now, according to this book, truth is honored above everything else in the Word of God. And you say, well, wait a minute now, Jesus is honored above everything. Yes, he is, because he said, I am truth. He's the truth. The Roman emperor said, what is truth? He said, I'm truth. Amen? And a lot of people, you'll try to tell them something, you'll say, this is truth. They'll say, well, what is truth? And you say, God's truth. God's word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. There are some truth things. And so, as John being inspired by the Holy Ghost himself, that's God in spirit, God the Spirit was honoring truth. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot of crooked people nowadays. Help me. We've all been crooked, as they say. We all have. Amen? And you bought a car and you got it home, transmission fell out, and you took it back, and the man said, I'm sorry, it was as is. And you said, well, you knew it was broke when you sold it to me. He said, yeah, you never did ask me. I didn't tell you no lie. You didn't ask me. But the truth is this, that mankind is degenerate, and he's a fallen creature, and he'd rather tell a lie than tell the truth. Yeah, that's right. And so God honors truth. He wrote a whole book just to honor truth right here. Now, to show how important the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, thought truth was, God had him write every bit of this just about truth. Now, he found a man named Gaius in the church there, an elder, and he said, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. That means in the Word of God, in the way of God, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in God the Father. I love that man. Now, a lot of y'all run out here on Sunday, tell me how much you love me, and then you go eat chicken over me at lunch and point out all my mistakes in my sermon. But in the Lord, we are to love one another. The Bible says that we're to love one another. Now, if you love somebody in the Lord, you love it in truth, see, because he's truth. Now, I may not like your car, but I love you in the truth. I may not like your particular mannerisms or way you are, but I can love you in the truth. I can love you in Christ. See, in Christ, the truth can override a lot of other things, see. And by the way, we've all got faults. I preached it this morning. We've all got failures. But we can still love one another in the truth, see? And love covers a multitude of sins in the truth. Now, we're not going to lie for one another. We're not going to lie on one another. But God made it very clearly whom I love in the truth. Look at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, that love is the ground, truth is the grounds for our love, see. But now, the grounds for rejoicing is also truth. Because this man got into truth, he got right with God. Now God's prospering him, and the Apostle John says, I can rejoice in what God's doing for you because of the truth. You ever notice that? We got a good example here tonight, and I wouldn't brag on him too much. The old devil would jump on him. But we got a fellow used to live in a tent. Amen? He was a drunk, lived in a tent. Come on, let's say amen right there, brother. Huh? Didn't even have a tent. And now look at him. And we love him not because he prospers, but because he prospers in truth. You understand what I'm saying? If he got up and went down to Salvation Army, somebody give him a bunch of money, he'd have spent it, wouldn't have done him no good. But in the truth changed him, and that made him prosper. He's not the richest guy in town, but he ain't walking no more. He ain't riding a bicycle. He ain't living under a bridge. And God did that because of truth, see. When he accepted the truth of Jesus Christ, God takes care of him. And we can say, I love you in the truth, see. Now, other way, we probably would have had a hard time. But it's easy this way, see. And for Christians not to love each other, there's something wrong. Amen? And so the grounds for love is truth. Are you in the truth? Are you living, walking in the faith of Jesus Christ? All right? Now, because of that, are you being blessed? And if you are, the only reason you're being blessed is because you're living and walking in the grounds of the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, he also said this in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, the grounds for walking for God or living for God, or we used to call it living right. Amen? You used to talk to people that say, I don't do that, I'm trying to live right. When was the last time you heard that? Long time ago. But when you're living right, you have to be walking in the truth in order to live right. See? You can't walk in lie and be in truth at the same time, see? And that's why it's important. He said if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, that's the light of God, the Word of God. And if we walk in the truth, that's the Word of God, same thing. Then God blesses us and God takes care of us. Amen. And he keeps us and he blesses us. And then we can walk with him. And the Bible says that God loved Enoch so much that one day he was walking with, because he walked with God. And one day he walked off into heaven with God. And they ain't never seen him since. He's up in heaven. He just took his daily prayer walk with the Lord. And the Lord said, guess what? Won't you just come on home? And he took him up to heaven alive and well. Amen? And he didn't have to die. He didn't have to go through the valley of the shadow of death because he was walking in truth. Now, I can go a long way with somebody. They may not be perfectly right, but I can walk a long way with somebody that's trying to walk in the truth. Amen? If they're walking in the right direction, they may not dot all their I's like I dot my I's or cross all their T's like I do mine, but if they're headed in the right direction, they're walking in the truth. They're trying to obey the Word of God as they know it. Amen. Then I can walk with them. And how can two walk together except they be agreed anyway? And so people say, well, I'm not your stripe of Baptist. Well, you don't have to be my stripe. I can love you. I can walk with you as long as you walk in the truth. Now, if you ever get off that path, you'll be gone by yourself because I'll keep on walking in the truth. Amen. But if a fella, maybe he still hadn't matured like he ought to. Maybe he hadn't been saved long. Maybe he's got some habits that really ain't good for him. And but he's walking in that direction. Now, as long as he's walking in that direction, I'll be his friend. I'll stick with him. I'll do anything I can for him. As long as he's going in the right. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's headed right.
Yes.
Now, help him. Don't pick out every little fault he's got if he's headed in the right direction. People go to church, they're afraid they'll be judged. Well, we can't judge you. We're still walking ourselves. Amen. And, we're going to love you. God's going to judge you. Amen. Now, I want you to notice verse 6. I'm going to take this one chapter right here apart. Look at, verse 5, if you will, 5 and 6. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. He said, now what you're doing right, while you're walking in truth, doing it to strangers and to the brethren, he said, you do it faithfully. Amen. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, there it is, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Amen. Now, truth, listen. If people receive the truth, and you got to receive it, God's not going to force it on you. I used to criticize the Bible before I was saved, but I never read it. Yeah, that's right. I used to make fun of Christians, though I wasn't one. I talked bad about the church, though I'd never been part of one. And I was headed in the wrong direction. But then when I got saved, I started finding people, brethren, that believe the right thing. And then I attached myself to them. Be careful who you attach yourself to. And I attached myself to them. Now, some of them let me down. Some of them didn't. But I got, I started identifying the brethren that were trying to live right in the truth of God's Word. And then that's the ones I want fellowship with. Are you listening, girls? That's the one I want fellowship with. The one that's walking in the light. He's walking in the truth. He's living right the best he can. And where he's not, he's confessing his sins. He's trying to forsake his sins. He's trying to get better. I want to walk with that guy. And even if they're a stranger, I'll help them. I'll help them. Now, I just don't look lightly on a tight-fisted Christian. I just don't look lightly on that. I think if God gave you all he gave you, then he gave it to you for a purpose. And sometimes he gave it to you to give away.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He gave it to you. Now, I don't mean be a sucker and everybody comes along their hand out. You got to give them something. But if you see somebody headed in the right direction, they're walking in the truth, they're trying to live right, they're trying to do right, and they need a little help and you can provide it, you ought to give it. Because the truth produces works. Good works. Amen. And I think Jesus Christ would. Amen. Peter looked at a fellow one time. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Man got up and walked. Yeah. Now, he didn't have any money, but he had a whole lot of faith. And he said, I don't have any money, but I'm going to share my faith with you. Get up and walk out of here. And that man over with somebody else's faith got up and walked out and was saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, if he'd had money, he'd give him some. He said, silver and gold have I none. But I believe if he had it, he'd give it to him if he needed money. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Christians that are in the faith, they're walking in the Word, they're walking in the truth, I think they have a good heart. If the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart, and you're trying to obey the truth, I don't think you'll hate people. I don't think you'll be mean to people. I don't think you'll be bad to people. I think you'll love people, and sometimes to your own hurt. Amen. Sometimes we've all done it. Sometimes to our own hurt, we try to do things for other people because we're walking in the truth and we're walking in the light and we're trying to do right and we see somebody and maybe they fool us. We don't know. And we think, boy, if I could help them a little bit, we help them and they're really deceiving us and they hurt us. But that shouldn't stop us. And by the way, they'll reap what they sow. It'll come back on them. Amen. Amen. So he said, I rejoice greatly. People came and testified of the truth that's in you and that you're walking in truth. And he said, I couldn't have any greater joy. Couldn't have any greater joy, he said in verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, my children do pretty well physically. My daughters are educated. Suzanne, Becky, they work. They do all right. They own things, you know, and a lot more than I did, you know, coming up. And I got one daughter. She's married and raising children, and she does all right. And I'm glad they do it. I pray that God will supply their needs. Every day I pray that.
Yes.
If they need something and it's in my power to get it, I'll get it.
Yeah.
Come on. My grandchildren, same way. I made up my mind a long time ago. My grandchildren never go without because I've done without. I know what it's like. And so if there's any way under God's heaven, I'll help my grandchildren. Help me. Is that right? Is that what we all do? Amen. But the greatest joy I get is to know that they're saved and going to heaven. Amen. If they lived in that pup tent or under a bridge somewhere, under a pine tree, and they was going to heaven, they'd still be better off than a lot of rich people. Amen. And there's no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. They're not deceived by some old wicked deceiving preacher or some old wicked deceiving Jezebel or something like that. They've not been deceived. They met Christ at early age. They found out the sweetness of the love of God early age. And now they're walking in truth. And that gives me more joy than if they drove up in my yard with a new Mercedes. Amen. The worldly lost people put too much emphasis on material things. A lot of Christians do too. And it'll give us, here's the test. Are your children saved? Are they going to church? Are they trying to live right? If they're married, are they trying to do right in their marriage? Or are they good people? That means, are they walking in truth? That should make me happier than anything else.
Yes.
Amen. It's not hard to be happy with little if you never had much, but the generation we got now seems like the only way they get happy is if they got a whole lot of stuff.
Right. Yep.
Stuff. Beg, borrow, or steal. They want stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
People would show up. They hadn't done it here, but when we was in town, people would show up at the front door, their hand out. They wouldn't even come into the church during the service. They'd wait till the service was over and say, "Pastor, I need to talk to you. I need some money." And most of them was on crack. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not near as dumb as I look. I know what's going on. Amen.
Amen.
I walked up in the yard one day down there in Chester, South Carolina, Chester. And a bunch of folks, you know, and most of my clients, I was selling life insurance. Most of my clients was black folks. And walked up in the yard, and there's about 10 people that was out there working okra, you know. They was cleaning it and all kinds of stuff. And I walked up. I said, "Hey, y'all, what's going on?" One of them looked at me in his mean way, and he said, "You wouldn't know nothing about this, you rich old white man." I said, whoa, you don't know where I come from. I said, "My mama fed us so much okra when I was little, my legs were so greasy I couldn't keep my socks up." That woman said, "Come on up in here. You one of us." I said, "Amen. Amen." I ain't even talking about beans. Amen. Park it right there. But reception of the truth produces faithfulness. You don't have to beg people to do right if they know the truth and they're living for the truth. They'll do right. They'll do right whether you do it or not. Old Bob Jones Sr. used to tell his students at Bob Jones University, he'd growl. They wouldn't even have him preach there now. He'd growl and say, "You ought to do right. You ought to do right." He said, "If the stars fall, you ought to do right." He said, "If you lose all your friends, you ought to do right." You know, living in truth causes faithfulness. You know, when somebody's walking in truth, you don't have to beg them to go to church. They want to go. You don't have to beg them to pray. They know how to pray. You don't have to beg them to read the Bible. They want to search the scriptures. Amen. You don't have to beg them to pay their bills. They want to pay them. If they can't, they'll go apologize that they can't pay their bill and ask them to give them some more time. They don't avoid demand. Amen. They're honest people. They're hardworking people. They're loving people. And you can count on them, buddy. Now, the truth produces that. That's not our natural nature. Our natural nature is selfish and sinful. We were born that way. Wherefore, it was by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every one of us was born a sinner. Brother Rudy, as much as I love him and his quiet and loving, gentle spirit and his hard work, his faithfulness, when he was born a stinking, rotten sinner. And the first thing he did was lie. He told a lie. Don't get so excited. You did too. It, somehow you lied. You'd be laying up to bed 3 months old, 4 o'clock in the morning, poor mama ain't got no sleep in 3 months, and you're laying up in that crib, and you wake up and you realize ain't nobody paying you no attention, and you go, "Wah!" Mama thinks you done fell out of bed or a rat got in the bed with you. She come running in there and pick you up and you go, oh. And that's when she'll look at you and say, you little liar. You little sinner. One day you came home with a dog and your mama said, what is that? And you say, that's my dog. And she'll say, your dog? Where'd you get it? And you'll say, I don't know. It just followed me home. And the whole time you was going, the back. The back. Amen. Stole somebody's ball right out of their yard. You was walking down the street, there was a ball in the yard, and you took it home, and mom said, where'd you get that? You say, I don't know, I just picked it up somewhere. It wasn't yours. Little crook. That's our natural state. Amen. Our natural state's not to walk in the truth, it's to live in a lie. Amen? Amen. We'll lie to ourselves, we'll lie to our spouse, we'll lie to the boss man, we'll lie to the preacher, we'll lie to the tax man. Oh, got quiet on that one right there. See, reception of the truth produces faithfulness. In verse 7, it says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Wherefore, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, ought to be the grounds of our fellowship. You know, a lot of friendships are built on a lie. You know, a lot of marriages are built on a lie. A lot of churches are built on a lie. Did you know that? It's this worldly type thing. I love you if you love me back. And then if somebody else comes along and loves them a little bit more, they'll take off. Or they'll say, I like you as long as you like me. Well, that's not God's love, see. That's carnal. That's fleshly love, see. Or I like you as long as you're pretty. Somebody said, amen. I hope your husband ain't here. I think it was, who was it? One of Hazel's kids, they all got phones now. I don't know why. They have no business. They have no income. I don't know how these kids get phones. But she brought the phone up and showed me CeCe's new baby. What was his name? What is it? Levi. It's Levi. And she said, ain't it pretty? I said, yeah, look at him. He's bald, he's wrinkled, and he's toothless. She said, yeah. I said, that's the same way he's going to be about 30 years after he gets married. He's going to look just like that again. And then you won't be saying he's pretty. Amen. The grounds for our fellowship should be truth. Now, there's some danger in false teachers concerning the truth. And I'm going to hit on this real quick, and I'll let you go. In verse 9, I want you to notice, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Here's a rejection by a man who claims to be a leader in the church, but he's rejecting the truth that God has sent him. And John said he wants to have the preeminence. He wants to be up front. Not the word of God, not the truth. Him. I give you, and I've told this example before, and you ought to go home and look it up and study Jim Jones. Yes. Y'all remember the Jim Jones massacre? Yeah. 900 people committed suicide. You old people remember that. A preacher named Jim Jones, he's a Church of Christ preacher. You ought to read his history. When he first started pastoring, he pastored a little church in Los Angeles, mostly poor people, mixed congregation, black, white, Hispanic, all kind of people. And he was a great leader. He took those people and took that old dilapidated church and got it all fixed up. They started a soup kitchen. They started a clothes closet. They started all kind of public programs and giveaways. And it grew to thousands, and by the time it grew to thousands, the governor recognized his church as one of the greatest humanitarian worker organizations in the nation. He was recognized by the president of the United States. And he was a preacher. He preached. He stomped and preached and spit and snort. But then over time, as they began to exalt him so much, the messages changed from him to him. And the more he preached, the more it got about him. And then the church started doing some stuff that looked shady. So the IRS got in on it and said, we want to know where all this money's going. So then he comes to his congregation and he tells them after a couple of years of that the U.S. government is persecuting them for their faith. It had nothing to do with faith. It was all about crooked money dealers. And so he said, if they don't leave us alone, we're going to move out of the country. So he taught 900 people, and most of those were couples. He taught them into quitting their job, selling their stuff, and taking that money and giving it to him. And then he arranged a flight over to Guyana. I think that's, is that North Africa? South America. And they took a flight, and they landed over there, and they took a jungle and cleared it out and built a city in there, themselves, by themselves. But as it went along, it was more and more about him. Well, they got hooked on drugs. And you knew it because they always wear a pair of sunglasses. Watch out for people that wear sunglasses in a dark house. And he always wore sunglasses. And they said he got hooked on all kind of different drugs. And you could tell when he would talk because his speech would slur, you know. And he got more and more weird. And pretty soon he had 3 or 4 wives. And pretty soon he had about 15 children. And they were all his. And he'd take them away from the men of the church. He'd just say, I want your wife. He'd take her. That was it. And they couldn't argue with him. They couldn't do anything. And then finally, a U.S. senator took some newspaper people down there to look, see what was going on. And that man ended up getting shot. They wouldn't let him leave. They shot and killed him. And they shot the newspaper reporters. They wouldn't let them leave. And then whenever they found out the FBI was coming to raid the camp, he made a plan. He said, they're persecuting us. This is Armageddon. And we need to get ready to go to heaven because this is how God's chosen us to go. It's a battle against good and evil. And so what we got to do, we got to drink this Kool-Aid and it's got cyanide in it. The children get it. The wives get it. Husbands get it. If you don't drink it, we're going to cut your throat or shoot you. So you might as well drink it. And 900 people died in one day. Because one man deceived people, and he'd put a little bit of truth into a whole lot of error and deceived all those people. They died. You better be careful who you fellowship with, and you better make sure they're walking in the truth or they'll hurt you.
Yes.
I've been hurt by them. You've been hurt by them. Amen. You better be careful. Amen. You better be careful. False teachers, false leaders. And then they reject God's word. And verse 11, and we'll quit. Verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now in the Bible, evil means a little bit more than just doing bad. Evil is when it hurts somebody else too. On purpose. That's evil. When people hurt you and they know it's going to hurt you, that's not just a mistake. That's not just a shortcoming. That's not just a failure. That's evil. They studied to do that on purpose. If they're walking in truth, they won't do that. Amen? Now, Jesus is the truth. He said so. There's no higher authority. He's the truth. The Word of God is the truth. It says so. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Scriptures inspired by God Himself. That's the truth. Hey, that's the only truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth in the whole wide world. Everything else is tainted by the sin of man. Even the best book, you can find something wrong with it. But you won't find anything wrong with that book. Amen? And the words written is spiritually alive. This is the only book that you can read that's all truth. And when you read it, it will change lives.
Yes,
it'll move hearts. It'll change minds. It'll move your spirit. Amen? I used to preach at the chain gang once a week, and I'd go out there and I'd preach, and I'd see those big old men just stand there and cry like a little baby at the preaching of the Word of God. I'd preach at the Army Reserve, and I'd tell those men, I'd say, y'all been trained to kill people. Some of you's probably done it in battle. I said, but I'm going to say something today that's going to scare you. And I'd preach the truth and see them just stand there and just shiver like a little old baby and weep and cry about being saved. Amen? It's alive. And the Word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive. Eternal truth. It'll never change. And then to reject one of those, it's to reject both of those. If you reject Jesus Christ, then that means you're calling God a liar in His book. Because that's the only way you heard about Him. And if you reject His book, then you're rejecting Him. He said, because I am truth. So when people reject the Bible, they're not just rejecting the Bible, they're rejecting the Savior too. Last but not least, we must stand for the truth. You don't hear songs anymore much about standing for truth. Most songs on the radio now are Jesus is my boyfriend type stuff. You know, it's just little old love songs with Jesus' name in it, you know. Whatever happened to stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Amen. Whatever happened to songs about marching up to Zion. Amen. Whatever happened to songs about the walls falling. Amen. Whatever happened about the songs Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Amen. We're Christian soldiers. We got to stand, folks. I used to work, many places while I was going to Bible college, trying to raise my family and everything else at the same time. And I'll never forget, I worked at Bendix Brake Systems. They made forward brakes for the heavy vehicles, big trucks. That's a good reason not to get behind in front of one of those big trucks. I used to work there. And but they had a union. And the shop steward came to me one day. I kept a radio on one of my lathes. I ran two lathes, and I kept a... Y'all didn't think I did stuff like that, did you? Y'all think I'm a little prissy thing, don't you? I ran two lathes, and while I'm running, a fellow came up. He said, "You can't have that radio in here on a Christian station." I said, "Why not?" He said, "It offends people because I kept it on a station where there was preaching. I mean, old fashioned barnstorming, window rattling, shingle pulling, preaching." He said, "You can't have that here. It offends people." I said, "Well, I really can't help it." And I was young and I was scared. There's an old man, shop steward. And I said, "Well, I really can't help it. It offends people, but I'm not taking it down." He said, "You'll have to." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "They'll fire you." I said, "They'll have to fire me." I said, "But before they do that, they gotta fire that guy over there. He's got his on a country station. And they gotta fire that guy over there. He's got his on a rap station. And they gotta fire that guy over there. He's got his on a rock station." And I wasn't saying it, but if I did it now, I'd say, I'd have sang to him, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved." We gotta stand for the truth, folks. We got a bunch of cowards in the church nowadays. Just a bunch of cowards. They're afraid to carry a Bible in public. Listen, you want to stop cussing on your job? Take that and lay it right there on the front of your desk. Open it up. That'll scare them for sure. That's what I used to do. I'd take my Bible and open it up, you know. And they'd come over and tell me a dirty joke. I'd look at that Bible. And they'd say, "Oh, I forgot." I said, "Don't worry about me. I'm not the one writing it down." Amen. But they didn't cuss no more. I had a boss man one time. He come up to me and he was mad at me, and he really didn't like me because I was a Christian. And he was a hypocrite. But I tell you what, he just kept on using God's name. And I had a bag of cotton over there. It went with my job. So I reached in there and I tore a piece of cotton off and I stuck it in my ear and reached over there and I stuck it over in my ear and I just kept on working. He said, "You listening to me?" I said, "Huh?" He said, "Take that out of your ears. What you doing?" I said, "I ain't got to listen to this." He stormed off mad. 3 days later, he found a reason to fire me. He called it insubordination. It was wrong, but I was ready to go anyway.
Amen.
God gave me a better job.
Yes.
We got to stand, folks.
Amen. Yes.
Don't you be scared. You're on the right side. You're on the truth side. Truth always offends evil. You just stand for the truth. You say, "Well, what if they stone me?" They stoned Stephen for the truth. And he looked up into heaven. He said, "Oh, my goodness, thank you. I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father waiting on me."
Amen.
Truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Do you know the truth? I never knew it till March 5th, 1978 when I asked Jesus to save me. He come in and opened my eyes.
Amen.
I can see it now.
Amen.
I can hear it now.
Yeah.
I can feel it now.
Yeah.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the inerrant.